This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And joining me, as he does every single Friday, is Parker Fleming. He has a free Grizzlies and NBA draft Substack called Substack Elitist. You should go subscribe. And if you give monetary support, it goes to St. Jude. All of it does. Because he's a grade A human being on X at @Paka_Flocka. Parker, happy Friday, brother.
Happy Friday. Happy Labor Day Friday.
Yeah.
Nice little three-day weekend coming up. But, you know, I'm doing good. I mean, we have college football to watch. You know, Nebraska and Cincinnati kicked us off with a nice little thriller.
Sure.
Upset.
Thriller? Do we call that a thriller? Brendan Sorsby might be one of the worst quarterbacks I've seen in the Big 12 in the past, I don't know, 5 to 10 years. That was a horrible performance. What was it, 13 for 26 for like 69 yards, and that nasty pick at the end of the game.
Yeah, but I mean, look, yeah, you had the Mahomes impersonator, Dylan Raiola, get to live out his dream, gets to play quarterback at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, I thought he played a good game, too.
And then doing that in front of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift on the week of the proposal, like, we're here for the Huskers. So.
Oh, are you as tuned in to the proposal and the engagement as Swifties are?
You know what's actually funny is I'm not. I actually was on a Microsoft Teams call this week, and it was the day of the engagement. One of my coworkers was like, "So is your wife a big Swiftie?" And I just go, "Not at all." And the conversation was done right there. Like, my wife doesn't really care for Taylor Swift. I don't really care for Taylor Swift. I don't like – and obviously there's the extra animosity, like, you know, I'm a Bills fan, so I'm watching these games. I'm watching, you know, Mahomes continue to dice up a DeMar Hamlin-led secondary, and then they pan over to Taylor Swift after the third touchdown, and I'm just like, look, I'm just not here. Like, look, happy for them, happy they found love. But the hoopla around Taylor Swift, I'm just not really here for it.
Yeah. Is Lane, by the way, your Ole Miss Rebels, is Lane going to run it up on Georgia State like he usually does in the out-of-conference?
I hope so. I hope so, because guess what that means? It means that Austin Simmons had a baller game, or you know, maybe they find, like, another stud running back. Hopefully they don't bench a stud running back this year like they did with Bentley last year. But, you know, like – I hope they run it up, you know, get some momentum going with Kentucky on the road next week. I mean, they like jump in.
They owe one to Kentucky. They really do.
They do. Because last – well, I remember, I think I said it last week on the show maybe. I can't remember. I said to somebody where, you know, they're – you know, the playoff extensions, like, hey, Lane, just beat Kentucky at home and you're not worrying about
right.
your playoff spot. But, you know, Ole Miss actually has, like, a pretty challenging slate to start the season. Like,
sure.
After this Georgia State game, they'll have at Kentucky, And then four straight home games, actually, Arkansas, Tulane, LSU, and Washington State before going on the road for Georgia and Oklahoma. It's like, you know, I'm up for anything that means wins and stacking up wins and stacking a good resume for the college football playoff.
Do you have CFP hopes for Ole Miss this year, even though it's new? It's a lot of new pieces. You lose first-round pick quarterback, and you have Austin Simmons coming in, although I'm high on Austin Simmons. You know that. I think they've done a good job restocking the wide receiver room. They have a couple of tight ends on the Mackey Award watch list. Defense, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah,
last year they were great. Pete Golding gets that big extension. They have to sort of replace some guys, but I still think they'll be solid. Pete Golding sort of has to me, there's a floor there with what he's been able to accomplish defensively. But, like, do you have CFP hopes or no?
I don't. It's more of a wait and see. It's a transition here. I mean, look, they can come out and after the LSU game, they could be 5-0, and then Austin Simmons looks like him, you know, and the fact that, you know, they're running, it looks like there's no skipped beat between Matt Corral, Jackson Dart, and Austin Simmons. I mean, that's the hope, right? And the fact that they, you know, they've had this knack of having star wide receivers, you know, since like Dante Moncrief, you know, like, so, you know, maybe, but again, it's wait and see. But I mean, here's the thing with Ole Miss and Ole Miss fans, especially now in the Lane Kiffin era. Lane Kiffin has brought very high expectations to this program. And I kind of hope that it's a little bit more than a transition year because, you know, with Lane, there's always the worry about a wandering eye. And I just don't think there's a need for that distraction. But I mean, hey, look, you bring up Pete Golding and everybody on Ole Miss Twitter says that if Lane ever leaves, Pete Golding should be the head coach. So,
okay. All right. I don't know if I'm quite there, but he did get the type of money that a head coach in waiting would get.
Yeah. Hey, so. tell me real quick, because you bring up Jackson Dart, I saw you tweeted out, I didn't get a chance to listen, but you tweeted out that you were wrong about Jackson Dart.
So,
how quickly should I get Jackson Dart jersey?
Do it now. Do it now. Okay. I'm a buyer. Just because, like, around the NFL draft, I had this idea. You're in a Lane Kiffin offense. You're in a Lincoln Riley offense. A lot of that is sort of college-based, half-field reads, things like that. So I thought it would be sort of a developmental process for him. But I didn't take into account, and you know this guy, being a Bills fan, I didn't take into account Brian Daboll's a hell of a coach, and he's going to scheme up, and tailor the offense to Jackson Dart when he's on the field. And I thought he looked awesome in the preseason. By far the best rookie quarterback.
Hey, I would love it. You know, after the fact that, you know, Matt Corral kind of had a cup of coffee in and out, and then, you know, Chad Kelly just didn't have his head on straight. All the talent in the world, but that man did not.
Well, don't get drunk and break into somebody's apartment thinking it's
exactly.
yours.
Exactly.
That seems like a pretty general rule of thumb.
Yeah, I hope Jackson can really find his mark with the New York Giants and, you know, follow in the footsteps of Eli Manning. You know, if it leads to two Super Bowls, that'd be great. But just, you know, giving the Giants stability at the quarterback position, especially after how long Manning gave them that stability, that'd be just really cool to see. And Matt Corral laid the foundation and everything, but like Jackson Dart was the guy that really took it to new heights for Ole Miss, especially in the Lane Kiffin era. So I hope for him that he can ball out. I think he's in a good infrastructure with good vets. You know, everyone could say what they want about, you know, post Seahawks, Russell Wilson and, you know, Jameis Winston with his interceptions, but he has those are two awesome vets to lean on. So I hope they slow roll it, but I also hope at the same time that he gets his chance to kind of get in his bag a little bit.
All right, now here's the question.
Okay.
Is there something in the water in Dallas?
Dude.
We had Luka Doncic traded by Nico Harrison last year to the Lakers. Now we have Micah Parsons, both 26-year-olds, by the way, generational talents. You know, all NBA for Luka Doncic, all pro 3 out of 4 years for Micah Parsons, but he's traded to the Packers. And here's the thing that really gets me. Nico Harrison says defense wins championships. That's why he had to get rid of Luka Doncic when he did, bring in Anthony Davis, try to build around Kyrie and AD. And then I heard Jerry Jones today in his presser say that we need to stop the run. That's why he traded Micah Parsons for Kenny Clark and 2 first-round picks. That's got to be what the seventh circle of hell sports-wise looks like.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if you know this. You might. I mean, I know you probably saw it on Twitter, but before I was a Bills fan by marriage, I'm born and raised Cowboys fan. My
good switch up, by the way. Yeah. Very good on you.
Yeah, and like mainly because my in-laws are more Buffalo fans than my family are Cowboy fans. They're just diehard and all that. But my grandmother's cousin actually is Walt Garrison. My middle name is actually Garrison as well. So there's like an actual like non-bandwagon connection, even though if you met my dad, he's a Cowboys and a Yankees fan. So like think it's bandwagon, but it's not. But no, man, it's one of those things where it's just another shot to the heart for Cowboy fans and the Jerry Jones era. I mean, I haven't seen a cow. They win 3 straight Super Bowls in the 90s, and then I'm born and haven't seen a Super Bowl since. I think I saw this graphic where they are the team in the NFC with the longest NFC championship drought. Is that right?
I believe so, yeah. I believe so.
Yeah. And I mean, if you really look, I mean, there's that. I haven't had a chance to watch that doc yet, but
it's Jerry Jones propaganda is what it is. It's entertaining. Not, I'll give you that. You should watch it because it is entertaining. Yeah. But it's Jerry Jones propaganda. No other way to put it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of parallels with the Dallas Cowboys and the Chicago Bulls, really, where it's like, you have your glory years in the 90s, and really, egos and ownership and management derailed what should be, the biggest brand for that respective league. Because I mean, now, like, I don't know if the Cowboys, like, I think the Chiefs probably have taken the mantle as like the brand name team of the NFL. And even then, like, I mean, and then Tom Brady was just like a brand of his own, really. Like, but yeah, it sucked. I hate it for Dallas fans, especially, because those are two generational talents, man. And we said this in the similar realm of like the James Cook extension. Totally not the same player, but it's just like they're good. They're in their prime. You're trying to be competitive. Like, pay your guy, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just another disaster in Jerry world. So
yeah, and it's just funny too, because I think any other GM making this trade, you're immediately like hot seat, right? If it doesn't work out. But Jerry Jones is a GM and he ain't firing himself. Like that may be one of the most tricky situations from a front office perspective in all of sports. Jerry Jones and his hands all over that team.
Yeah, he's in his 80s. Like, just let somebody with a modern vision run in the football team.
Oh, that ain't happening, though.
I know.
And know what's funny is I think Will McClay, his vice president of player personnel, is a great drafter. I think Stephen Jones is okay at his job. I just feel like Jerry pulls too many strings, doesn't let them do the work that they need to do. I feel like they have some decent minds behind the scenes, but Jerry runs everything.
Unfortunately, that's the case.
Yeah, for sure. All right, now you wrote this week about Santi Aldama. And really, it was about the 2021 draft, and you did a full redraft, really. Let the listeners know, based on production and what he's been able to accomplish in the NBA, where you slated Santi Aldama in a 2021 NBA draft redraft, because I found it pretty interesting.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and say I had him 11. And, I think that top 10 is pretty set in stone, at least in my eyes. Obviously interchangeable, but I had Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Franz Wagner, Scotty Barnes, Alperen Sengun, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy III, Jalen Johnson, Austin Reeves, Jalen Suggs. And, there's that next wave. And I just think And we've talked about it on the show a lot, especially with this free agency, like Santi's skill set doesn't grow on trees. He's a near 7-footer. That's a decently high volume, at least high volume shooter on the standards of a 7-foot forward. He can put the ball on the deck. He has his creativity and his pizzazz with his footwork and his playmaking where it's like, this is a real dude. And, you know, with Santi, there's also that layer that's intriguing where it's like, he's doing all this as the backup to Jaren Jackson Jr. Like, what could he be if he was a starting power forward on his own team? What could he be if Tomas Isolo decides, hey, I'm going to run Santi Aldama as the opening night starting three, or, hey, with Zach Edey out, I'm going to run Santi at the four, Jaren at the five. Like, what could he become with starter minutes? Like, that's, like, yeah, I don't know. There's people that complain about the physicality element and the perimeter defense, all that. But, like, again, like, this is a dude that brings a lot of skill and finesse to the table for a 7-footer and has really kind of unlocked some combinations for the Grizzlies. And then, like, just from an advanced metrics standpoint, obviously didn't want to lead with that because that's an easy way to tune out. But, I mean, he's in pretty much every metric, he's top 10 in his draft class, you know? And especially, like, with win shares, like, the thing that caught my eye is, like, if you look on Basketball Reference, it gives you the option of win shares. And you obviously acquire win shares based on how many games you play, how many minutes you play. He only played 21 games of real minutes in his rookie season, and he is still 10th in the draft class at win shares. You know, like, I just think this guy, you know, I know it's obviously more enticing because of the highlight flashes and the pre-draft conceptions of guys like Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga or Cam Thomas or Josh Giddey, Quentin Grimes. But, like, I mean, look, they're entering year five. They're off their rookie deals.
Right.
If you strapped away their pre-draft credentials, like, how much separation would the public eye have for Santi Aldama versus Jonathan Kuminga? I think Santi Aldama is a way better player than Jonathan Kuminga, in my opinion. So, yeah, I just think – and the thing is, the reason why I wanted to do this is because with the 2021 draft, there's a lot going on. Obviously, that's, like, a cycle that I – one of my early studies, so like the full draft guy, but there's still the board, and I learned a lot. It was when I did the Grizzly Bear Blue consensus big board. I learned a lot with that. Quite frankly, the guy that taught me the most in that draft was Franz Wagner, because kind of taught the lesson of, like, you know, you watch him at Michigan, he's like, oh, he's just gonna have a high floor, but really the high floor was really more like created like a false ceiling. The ceiling was higher than people realized because of his combination of size, skill, age. And then also, too, like with that class in particular, you know, there's this really big restricted free agency holdout with Jonathan Kuminga, Josh Giddey, Quentin Grimes, Cam Thomas. And I kind of wanted to dive into that a little bit and dive into that angle of, you know, why are they in this situation? What do I think they're going to have? But also to offer kind of like the perspective I would try to put them in going forward for them to best succeed. And then finally, too, with Santi Aldama, I mean, if you asked most, if you polled 100 people and asked them who's the Grizzlies' third best player going into the season, most people would probably say, oh, Santi Aldama. So that's why I wanted to do this. I've never also done that this redraft before. I've always wanted to do it with the 21 redraft, especially since Santi Aldama had this really big emergence and kind of nullified the fact that the Zaire Williams pick just didn't work.
Right.
So.
And we had no idea who the guy was when the Grizzlies traded up to the end of the first round to go get him.
I genuinely looked at my laptop when I saw that, and I said, who is Santi Aldama? Because I just didn't know who he was. You know, I saw him on mock drafts, you know, the week leading up, and I'm like, all right, who is this guy? And I just didn't think to study, and then lo and behold, like, Memphis Grizzly, you know, they trade up from 40 to 30, and everyone's like, why did they trade up to the 30th pick to go get this guy? He wasn't even on mocks to the 40s, but really the Grizzlies probably knew something behind the scenes and went out to go get him. And
good eyes is what that is.
Player.
That's good eyes.
Yeah. Personnel very good eyes.
Now I'm curious. So he got signed as soon as free agency started this offseason.
Yeah.
And you brought up, like, what would he look like with starting 3 minutes? How much interest do you think was out there for Santi Aldama? Because I'd imagine there was a fair amount, but the Grizzlies just paid him a pretty substantial contract. I don't know if anybody wanted to match. Like, what do you think happened there?
My opinion is probably just the idea that, yeah, there might have been teams interested, and probably what you saw happen was, my opinion, just speculation, no intel, let me be clear, is I think, you know, they probably got that interest from other teams, which, you know, you saw the reports of the Detroits and the Washingtons and the Atlantas, and they probably gave his agent a number. They're like, okay, this is what we would sign him to. And then they probably brought it back to the Grizzlies, who owned restricted free agency rights, and the Grizzlies were like, oh, we can match that. Maybe we can even give you a little more. And that's what happened. That's what I think, at least. And it's just one of those, I don't think they wanted to play around. I think they genuinely do like Santi Aldama. I think every time Zach Kleiman speaks to the media, he talks about how much they like and value Santi Aldama. And, you know, I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all. He's a very good basketball player. And, you know, I think, you know, we see a lot of these series come down to role players hitting shots. And so far, Santi Aldama showed he can hit shots in the playoffs. So, that's why I think he was signed relatively early. I just think they just didn't want to mess around with it. Yeah. Like, could you imagine if it was Labor Day, going into Labor Day weekend, and we're still talking about how much Santi Aldama is going to sign for, if he's going to get a qualifying offer?
Right.
We'd be driving ourselves mad. Like, I'm glad that they had this sorted out.
Yeah. All right. Now, something that got me excited that I came across on the old X account. Ty Jerome, somebody sort of posted his stats per 75 possessions when he was in Cleveland with Donovan Mitchell and without Donovan Mitchell. Here are his numbers per 75 without Donovan Mitchell. 27 points, 6.3 assists, 4.8 rebounds, true shooting percentage 67.5. Basically, the idea behind this was he was better without Donovan Mitchell on the floor next to him. Like, how much should I buy into these numbers and get hyped up about the signing of Ty Jerome, what he could be?
I mean, I wrote about it. I wrote about Ty Jerome several weeks ago. And, you know, I see the notion thrown out there, you know, like, oh, he had a magnet ball, he's going to progress, stuff like that. And it's just like, what if he doesn't? Like, simply put, what if he doesn't regress? Because, you know, I think a lot of the stuff that he excelled in, it's stuff that you don't just, like, have come out of nowhere, you know?
Yeah, and you don't luck into it with the amount of games he played. Like, he...
No, you don't. Like, this isn't, like, a Linsanity run or anything. I mean, quite frankly, I think it's just when, like, the touch is excellent, and then the playmaking feels great. I think he also had something like a 2.9 assist turnover ratio for his career coming in. I also do want to point out, coming into this, with this, like the Ty Jerome with or without Donovan Mitchell, a lot of those minutes, like he did, like if you look at his minutes with Darius Garland, they kind of resemble it. So it's not like, oh, he's like running the show or anything without Donovan Mitchell. It's just kind of like, oh, he's playing with Darius Garland. It's a different feel. But like, you know, like it's one of those things that, okay, let's say he doesn't shoot 43% from three, but what if he's shooting 40%? Like, that's still
right,
a really good player. And the thing with Ty Jerome too, like it's one of those things where you kind of see all the time in the NBA about like opportunity versus ability. And, you know, you look at his first season, he's in Phoenix, cut short due to COVID, only played 31 games. Goes to OKC and kind of puts up similar numbers to what he did in Cleveland. 10.7 points, 3.6 assists, 2.8 rebounds, shot 42% from three. And then the next year he's in OKC and kind of struggled. I know he's had ankle injuries on and off through his career. And in Golden State, he was only on a – he was good. Like I'm sure everybody remembers the Christmas Day game that he had against Memphis, spoiled everyone's Christmas, but he was on a two-way contract and they never converted him. So we can only play 50 games. So he played 45 games, goes to Cleveland, has a season ending ankle injury, two games into the season. And now he comes back and as that season.
Right.
And, you know, what if it's just like, hey, he's gotten this opportunity, he's gotten this leash, and this is just who he is. But I think with the sentiment and like what those stats show, like, okay, is he going to average per 75 possessions 27-6-5 on 67 true shooting percentage? No. However, I do think he can provide the amount of creation and shooting that's really needed on this roster after losing Desmond Bain and also losing Luke Kennard. Like, I think he can I think there's no reason why he can't perform to the level where it falls, like, you know, if you have this like pendulum of like Luke Kennard's production and Desmond Bain's production, why can't he be like 55-60% closer to the Desmond Bain side?
Yeah, somewhere in the middle, right?
Yeah, somewhere slightly to the middle, more so to the right. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Now, final thing I wanted to get your opinion on. I saw this in The Athletic, and I just found it interesting. And it's really a barrier that's just not been broken down yet, but it feels like we're getting closer. But in The Athletic, Dawn Staley revealed that she had a legitimate interview with the New York Knicks. Now, they ended up signing Mike Brown to coach, gave him the contract. But Dawn Staley said she would have taken it. And she basically said, it's for women everywhere, that type of thing. It's a barrier that hasn't been broken down, but it feels like there was a Becky Hammon interview a couple of years ago. Dawn Staley gets it this offseason. Feels like the you know, woman head coach of an NBA team, we're inching closer and closer. I don't know if we'll get there, but this one was real at the very least. This was a no doubt, 100% interview in person with the New York Knicks for Dawn Staley.
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, I think we're very close to it. Obviously, you can't pinpoint the job or the candidate. You don't know. I mean, and you see a lot more of these assistant coaching staffs that have female assistant coaches on their staff. Two more names that I think kind of stand out in this is, I think it's Lindsey Harding with the Lakers under J.J. Redick, but also too, someone that is really, I think, picked up some steam and could really, I think she could be the first NBA female head coach, is Jenny Buick from, I might be mispronouncing her name, but she is an assistant coach with the Indiana Pacers. I think she works with the guards, or at least McConnell. I know that for sure. But like, I think honestly, when I was writing about, at first, but you know, when, you know, we kind of assumed that Isola would be the coach, but it was kind of left up in the air about a search. I was like, I think in my mind, like, I even wrote it in the article that came out that day, literally the day that they made the decision and sent the press release about hiring, promoting Isola.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I threw her name in as I was like, right. Hey, this is one of the people I would consider hiring if they went the assistant coach route. So it's a matter of time. And I think obviously with even someone and like with someone like Dawn Staley, like she 100% deserves it. Great. I'm not going to pretend like I know X's and O's with it and how what her programs look like just because I don't watch a lot of South Carolina women's hoops. But look, her teams are successful for a reason. She has a magnetic personality. I think, you know, I think a lot of the stigma that people had around the idea of a female coach, like it's gone. Cause at the end of the day, everyone in the building is a professional. Everyone in the building has the same goal. Like this is just a different era. I think a women's coach, it's not only a matter of time, but they're all like, that I wouldn't be surprised if that first one is also like really successful.
For sure. Well, we'll see. But Parker, I appreciate it, man. Enjoy the ball over the weekend and enjoy your weekend in general.
Absolutely. You too. You too. I appreciate it. You have a good weekend.
Yes, sir. He is Parker Fleming at @Paco_Flocka on X. Make sure you go subscribe to Substack Elitist, his free Grizzlies and NBA draft Substack. All monetary support goes to St. Jude because he's a grade A human being. Now we need to go ahead and transition right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. The Blitz is next. Stick around.
Now, the biggest stories overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
All right, Gabe, per On3, Fox will televise Lee Corso's final headgear selection on Big Noon Kickoff.
All right, so they're going to get lapped by College Game Day because Lee Corso is done after this. People are going to be tuning in. This is very much a let's keep eyeballs on the end of our pregame show play. That's what this is. Fox Big Noon Kickoff, though, they don't make good decisions. The Dave Portnoy thing, I don't even know how that's going to work out. But that's the only take I have is the fact that Fox is desperate and they're going to display the other pregame show to keep eyeballs on theirs, even though they always get absolutely killed when it comes to viewership on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, it's I understand why they're doing it. They don't want people to turn the channel because I think that everybody on Saturday is wanting to see Lee Corso's final headgear selection. It's a big deal. It is literally history when it comes to college football. We talked about it a little bit earlier this week, but when you think of college football, I think that Lee Corso is probably one of the first few people that you think about, especially when it comes to television and media personalities and analysis.
Making college football what it is today from a TV standpoint and like from an intrigue standpoint. I mean, you attribute a lot of it to College Game Day, sure, but he made it exciting.
Well, College Game Day wouldn't be what it is without Lee Corso.
Absolutely
not. It's as simple as that. And I don't know if you saw this, but the internet can be a beautiful place sometimes. Somebody went back through every single one of Lee Corso's College Game Day headgear selections, and they found he has about a 66.5% winning percentage, which
that's good.
The history of game day, not terrible. I saw some people be like, well, your expert should be somewhere between 70% and 80%. Well, I would also like to shoot a little bit of bail. I think that the last few years, you know, I'm not going to hold the last few seasons necessarily heavily against Lee Corso. He had one point, though, where I think he got like 15 games right in a row or something like that. It was an insane run.
Lee Corso's 90 years old. I'm not going to hold anything from like 80 years old on against him. And I think 66% is a
pretty good
decent percentage.
Pretty good.
And I have to give Josh Pate credit for this, but this is kind of... It is kind of interesting with Lee Corso because he was a great head coach, but Lee Corso at age 50, he had played before that. He had coached for 32 years. But imagine telling him when he retired and got out of the game at 50 that his most impactful moments in college football would come the next three decades, the 30 years following his coaching and playing career. That's just it's an interesting life, and shout out to a legend, man. That's all I can say.
He's been doing this since October 5th, 1996. He has 286 wins, 144 losses for a win percentage of 66.5%. I think that's pretty good. When you look at the chart that's out there, there's a lot more green than there is red, and there is some truly magnificent runs of correct picks by him, to be honest with you, including later years. Like, there is a huge stretch just a few seasons ago that he had of being correct. It was, to be honest, it's right in the middle, I think, of his college game day career where it looked like he struggled the most. I don't know how this is. I think it's broken down by season, but it's pretty fascinating when you go back and you look at it. I think, to be honest, if you're on television doing headgear selections, you have to also take into account, I wonder how many times he chose a certain team because he knew he'd get a certain crowd reaction. So, but 66.5%, pretty good.
We're going to miss the not so fast, my friend. We're going to miss it.
Not so fast, my friend.
We're going to miss it.
ABC and ESPN has demoted Doris Burke from its NBA Finals team and promoted Tim Legler.
Correct move, in my opinion. I'm not on the Doris Burke hate train, okay? I think people have gone way too far with Doris Burke. I think I get the sense of why that happens. Having a female on the broadcast with a bunch of bros watching the NBA Finals, it can go over, you know, not so great all the time. But Tim Legler's better. Tim Legler, to me, when it comes to ESPN's NBA coverage, is the best analyst that they have right now. And he's great on games. It's one of the rare times in the past 5 years where I think ESPN actually made a correct decision. You know, like they have gotten rid of all of their great talent, especially when it comes to NBA analysis. They've kept Tim Legler. Now they're promoting him. I like the move.
I do, too. I like Tim Legler a whole bunch. I think he was fantastic during last year's playoffs. He's been great the last few seasons. I'm a big fan of Doris Burke, but I do think that during the games, especially NBA Finals games, sometimes it feels like she's reaching a little bit to be overly positive, and she doesn't want to criticize and guys as much during games or teams as much. And I think that Tim Legler, he'll just offer more of an unbiased opinion, and he'll give his opinion, whether or not it's negative or positive. I think during the NBA Finals, I just think the balance of that with the rest of the crew is going to go very well.
I think Legler is the type of guy who's just going to be all business all the time.
Yeah.
Right? And he can be funny at times, but that's not what he wants to do. I thought Doris Burke, again, I'm not on the Doris Burke hate train as a commentator. I think she's fine. She's fine. But she tried to force funny too much, like the Tyrese Halliburton jokes, or, you know, and then you had the SGA jokes about the free throw line and foul hunting. She just tried to force funny a little bit too much. I like Legs, though. I think Legs is the best talent they have on the NBA side.
Yeah, I think this is more, in my opinion, this is more about what Tim Legler does well than what Doris Burke doesn't do well. I think that she's great, and she's still going to be on NBA games. She's still going to be a part of the coverage team. But for the finals, like when you're looking at the actual crew, and it's going to be Legler with Mike Breen and Richard Jefferson, I think that Richard Jefferson and Doris Burke kind of do the same thing when they're on the broadcast. So they just overlap. Now, if this decision was made where it was Doris Burke and Tim Legler and Mike Breen, I think that would be great too. It's, you know,
legs all business, Richard Jefferson comic relief to a certain extent with a mix of analysis. Well,
and you know, being a player at the highest level, you know, I know Tim Legler was a player too, but you know, being in those NBA finals games, Richard Jefferson can offer that perspective. I just think it's a better balance.
Yeah.
Like we said, I don't think it's necessarily what Doris Burke did poorly. I think they just kind of, I think this year with the NBA finals, there was just a little bit of over-positivity, a little bit too much joke. Sometimes when you're watching the game, I just want to hear analysis.
Yeah,
and that's what I think that Tim Legler can
offer. I think ESPN is not blind to the fact that the reception was terrible. Reception was terrible. You had to make a change, and here's the change. I agree with it.
Yep. Yeah! Kirk Herbstreit gave his take on the Micah Parsons trade today. Give it a listen.
What is your reaction to this enormous trade of Micah Parsons to the Packers yesterday?
A little bit of a different take. I mean, if you're just going to look at it from the XO standpoint, I mean, you lose a great player physically. Obviously, he could take a game over. But I look at this in a different way. This is a new coach trying to build a new culture, and your alpha, your best player, is sitting out in a negotiation that's not working out. And not only that, but just some of the optics of it with some of the things he did during camp, it just wasn't good. And then the drama that's always with Dallas is going on and on and on between he and the organization and Jerry Jones. I think at this point it is probably best to just give him his opportunity to go to another franchise, and then Dallas can almost start over as far as inside the building, the culture of trying to build this thing from the ground up defensively. We know what you guys were just talking about with Dak and that offense can do. But if they're ever going to be a real contender, not only in their division but the NFC, they got to get better defensively. Now, you say, how do you get better by losing Micah Parsons? I think you're just looking at that, like physically what he does. But what does he do behind the scenes to the culture of who the Dallas Cowboys are? For Dallas not willing to sign him, it must have been significant enough to say, hey, let's get rid of this guy, even though he's a great player, and let's try to build this thing kind of like the little engine that could, us against the world type of thing. I know it sounds crazy, but I applaud Dallas and letting him go and trying to build a culture of team instead of an individual. And we'll see what happens with Dallas this year. But I don't think this is a play for 2025. I think it's a play for 25, 26, 27, and beyond.
Oh, okay. Little engine that could.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys.
The little engine that could.
$12.7 billion valuation, most valuable franchise in sports in the world. Don't do little engine that could. But I think the largest issue I have with Kirk Herbstreit's analysis there is blaming Micah. Blaming Micah for how this went. Jerry Jones is the problem. And you want to talk about, oh, what's he doing behind the scenes with culture and the locker room? What's the reception like? Are they creating a positive culture? The only person in that organization taking away from that culture in that locker room, the biggest issue in that locker room is Jerry Jones himself and ownership and you know, the higher ups not paying their guys what they need to be paid in the end of the day. And talking about they're building for the future, what better piece to build for the future with than a 26-year-old who's been to 3 All-Pro teams in 4 seasons and 4 Pro Bowls in 4 seasons? I don't understand this. Like, we have a tendency in this society to side with billionaires at times. I've never understood that. They have the money to make these decisions and pay the guys that they need to pay, and sometimes they don't decide to do that. Jerry Jones opted out of it this time. But so much wrong with what Kirk said there. And if you want to know about like Micah and the culture and how he treated his teammates and all that, his teammates were changing their avatars on Twitter to a picture of him. When he was traded, Trayvon Diggs puts an emoji out of a heartbreak. You have CeeDee Lamb, you know, with the teary-eyed emoji. I mean, they loved him in that locker room. He was the face of the franchise. If you're blaming anyone in this situation, blame the guy who refused to pay one of the best players in the National Football League. Blame the guy who didn't want to work with an agent even though it's 2025 and you have to do so. Blame the guy who, for God's sakes, can't even get the amount of games missed right that Micah had last year. He said 6 instead of 4, and he called him Michael today in his press conference. I mean, blaming Micah, saying he was a locker room cancer, in essence, is insanity. It's stupidity.
That it's an insane way to spin this story. We have all of the evidence to the contrary of everything he said. First off, if you're going to talk about an individual that was causing problems with the Dallas Cowboys, and you're saying that individual
is Micah,
was Micah, and that there's a culture of individuality, and it's because of Micah Parsons and not Jerry Jones, I'm not even sure if I can have a conversation with you about the Dallas Cowboys. He's on tape saying that the Dallas Cowboys, that the drama around them, that is more important to him. The money the Cowboys make from the drama, from being in the headlines, that is more important to Jerry Jones than actually winning football games. Why are we trying to save money for the most lucrative franchise in all of sports? It doesn't make any sense to me. It just doesn't make any sense. They had the money to pay Micah Parsons, and they chose not to do it. They treated Micah Parsons incorrectly, not the other way around. This is a Jerry Jones problem. Micah Parsons was not a cancer in the locker room. He was not a problem in the locker room. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like him holding out and not playing in preseason games was some major
issue.
That's
what you have to do.
He said time and time again in interviews and podcasts that he wanted to be a Dallas Cowboy. He wanted to be in Dallas. He just wanted to have fair contract negotiations with his agent.
Yep.
Is that too much to ask?
It really is. It's not.
Trying to turn the Dallas Cowboys into the little engine that could, that had to take on the mean Micah Parsons.
Yeah, they have to plan for the future.
He treated us unfairly. Micah Parsons is 26 years old and wanted to be paid what he deserved. He wanted to be paid the same as the top of the market, which is exactly what he should have gotten. Yep. Nonsense.
100%. Now let's go ahead and get you some winners on the other side. Weekend winners will come up. Make sure you stick around for that. Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.